Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, survivors, caregivers, and all of our followers that are continuing to tune into the TBI One Love podcast, which, as you know, you are helping us spread our positive form of hope, inspiration, education, and guidance to those that have been touched by a brain injury, and, of course, awareness and prevention to the general public. To launch the last show of our July segment, I know, hard to believe we're already at the end of July. We have such an incredible guest tonight. Who I'm referring to is assistant professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and she is a speech language pathologist. For us survivors, speech therapy. We all had to live that through an extended period, but it's really helped us, and I'm excited to get some different information for our listeners, but also to the general public, how powerful this is. Who I'm referring to is none other than Dr. Byam. As I stated, she is a speech pathologist and also a researcher dedicated to positive function and cognitive communication outcomes for people in the TBI community. She is with the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. One of her long-term research goals is to help develop a more complete module for the relationship between cognitive and communication across the lifespan. Better understanding the relationships between communication and cognitive is critical to the development of more effective treatments and high-level communication problems experienced both by men and women with neurological communication disorders. I know I could explain even more about that, but she's taking time out of her busy schedule or her long schedule to call in, and I want to go ahead and get this show started. But this is going to be very beneficial and helpful, not only, of course, to us survivors, because we're going to understand this, but it's really going to help the general public learn more about some of the difficulties we have to battle on a short and long-term area with aphasia and other communication errors. But it's also going to help caregivers understand what we have to go through, or you can relate to it with the lives that you're helping change as well. So without further ado, let's get the show started. Dr. Boyum, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing good, ma'am. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm grateful and honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you heard me give up as easy as I could a brief introduction about yourself, but would you like to share a little bit more about yourself and your work before we get started?
Sure. As you said, I'm a speech language pathologist, and really pretty early as I was training as a speech therapist, I knew I wanted to work with adults. I guess I never was a very good player, so I felt like I'd be better suited to work with adults rather than young children, but pretty early in my training, somebody that I'm really close to, somebody that's really important to me, was injured in a pretty serious accident and sustained a TBI. And that really motivated me to better understand kind of how TBI can affect thinking and talking and communicating, and also to understand how myself and other SLP speech pathologists can really most effectively support survivors in their recoveries as well as their families. In thinking and communicating, especially in everyday tasks, as they get out of the hospital and get back to doing things that they want to do. And so I spent really most of my time as a clinician, as a speech pathologist, and also now as a researcher and a teacher of future SLPs, thinking and kind of problem solving about how to support people to be able to think and have conversations how they want to across different settings. You know, whether it's at work, school, catching up with a friend, or even just, you know, those little conversations we have, you know, discussing what's coming up for the day over breakfast or something. So really trying to think about what do people need to have those conversations that are meaningful.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think it's very, very powerful and really helping us understand your passion behind it, how you understand what a brain injury is firsthand and really have a more powerful tool of why you do what you do, especially not only with the speech pathology, but also with the research, because you relate to this on a personal level as well.
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I think certainly my family member is an inspiration and a partner in this work, but also I think the people I get to work with really kind of tell me, you know, what we're doing well and what we need to improve on and areas we need research. I think that's really important.
Very important. Yes. You know what? And since you do have several roles as your professor, your researcher, and as a speech therapist, would you mind telling me how about your clinic does work with adults, as you had mentioned earlier?
Yeah. So right now, I was not in the clinic for a little bit when I came to Chapel Hill at the university. Mm-hmm. But over the last couple of years, I've been able to get back in the clinic. And so currently, I work a few hours a week as a speech pathologist. I am in an outpatient clinic, and we're really lucky to have right within our little clinic, we have, you know, our physicians and our psychologists, psychiatrists, physical therapists, athletic trainers, social workers, nurses, pharmacists, dietitians, a whole group of really dedicated people who are really passionate about serving individuals with TBI. And we specifically in this clinic serve veterans and first responders who've had traumatic brain injuries. Most of them have had repeated concussions or all the way kind of up to more significant injuries. But it's been kind of a fun setting because we really get to kind of do this interdisciplinary partnership, collaborative clinic, all of us as clinicians, but also really truly partnering with our veterans and first responders and their families. To kind of, they come in, veterans come in and they do a pretty intensive 3-day assessment with us. And at the beginning, we ask them like, what are the three things you really want us to look at or give you some ideas on? And we're able to talk to each other and, you know, bounce ideas off each other, including the veteran. You know, what do you think about this? Have you tried this? And that's been really important, I think, to get back into that clinic and be in this collaborative setting and to just work with veterans with TBI and first responders again. I think it's been so important to my teaching. I teach future speech pathologists. And so I can give them examples every single day of, you know, what do they need to know to go into this role? And also it helps keep me grounded to see, you know, is the research that I'm doing, you know, is it going to make an impact in how speech pathologists serve this community? Is it feasible? Can they do it in their work? Or does it take too long? And so I just have been really lucky to get back into the clinic.
That's amazing, especially with the impact and the assistance. You're both helping, and by impact, you know, the lives you're changing, of course, in a positive manner, helping other survivors not feel alone, but giving them proper guidance to really help them succeed at every stage in their recovery, which, as you know personally, there is no finish line to recovery. That's why I mentioned every stage, but also with how you had mentioned, with not only veterans and first responders, but others, and they're all having different styles of brain injuries, and you understand with your work, different, all brain injuries are different. It can be the same area of the brain that was damaged. It can be very similar, sometimes exactly the same it was sustained, but yet no brain injury is alike. It kind of goes with the symbolism of, even though our brains look the same, they don't act the same. So what I'm getting at is, what are some of the differences or some of the reasons with having so many different individuals and different styles or results, if you will, of brain injuries that you think people really might seek out speech therapy?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. Like you said, our brains on the outside look pretty similar, but we all are different humans, right? We've had different experiences. We have different priorities. And so it really is important, I think, across rehab that as people are recovering, we're trying to pay attention to, you know, what is meaningful to the person. And so I think this carries through all the way from very acute. Oftentimes, you know, many of your listeners might remember the speech pathologist coming in very early and, you know, making sure the person swallowing is safe and being mindful about, you know, how can we support them to be able to eat? We know that that's such an important part of, you know, just connecting with people. And so that sometimes happens. We also, people might see speech pathologists, you know, to make sure that they have a functional way to communicate, especially if they're intubated early or as they're getting their voice back. But I think we also work with people, you know, with their speech function, if they have some changes to the muscles of their mouth or their throat. And then also as they try to, you know, get back to you know, finding and putting words together the way they want to. And I think we also do a lot of education for people with TBI, what to expect along the recovery journey, and also educating the people around them. So, you know, what are some ways that family members or friends can support somebody as they go through their recovery and be strong communication partners. And so I think that there's a lot of researchers, including you've talked to Dr. Emma Power, that are thinking about how can we not just support the person with the TBI, but also the people they talk to. I think that's been a big move in speech pathology and kind of supporting the whole person in doing things that they want to and having conversations that they want to have.
And that's very beneficial and very important. I think that's a very powerful move because individuals, sadly, there's two different areas I'm going to mention. I know you're going to agree. Most important, sadly, that individuals do not know about a brain injury until the past decade. Thankfully, since Dr. Bindemol, you located CT, that kind of changed the complete perspective of, first, most importantly, a concussion. It's not a headache. It is a brain injury. But it had a ripple effect of kind of educating others, okay, there are different styles of brain injuries, different attention span, et cetera. But also, most importantly, especially with you and your work, like you just mentioned, you're helping not only educate others on both perspectives. One, if they get a brain injury, this is what you recommend are different styles that will help them during their different stages of recovery. Also, you're helping the individual with their family, their caregiver, their spouses, AKA their community, because people do not understand one brain injury, like I mentioned, unless it happens to them. It's sad, but that's true. And also, there's such a strong opinion that people only think a brain injury affects the person that gets it. And then you judge them by the outside view saying, oh, they look fine. They got over it. Okay. And just how you mentioned, on the inside is a completely different thing because we're all ourselves, we're all different, but it also affects the individual's community because anyone that knows a survivor has to adjust to their new form of them, if that's understandable.
Yeah. That's such an important and true bit of information. And I just would also say, I don't think I mentioned, you know, like, as you said, not only the speech and language, sometimes people are more ready to like associate, you know, if you have, you know, a weakness in your mouth or your leg or something, like to link that to the brain injury. But sometimes some of those thinking changes or attention span changes or memory changes, people sometimes are less able to understand. They just haven't come across it yet to know that this is part of TBI recovery. And there's ways that, you know, people keep improving and there's ways that, you know, you as a friend can make things and conversation easier.
Yes, ma'am. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because there are different aspects or different effects that the survivor and, of course, their environment have to go through during the long stages of recovery. Would you mind getting a little bit more into that?
So I think you're right. And I think the rehab community and I think insurance and other, you know, things associated with rehab is starting to recognize that people are still recovering after they leave the hospital. And so, you know, maybe early on we see some, you know, people's voices come back or they're able to eat the regular diet that they want. But sometimes as people get home from the hospital and they start to get back into work or they get back into, you know, try to go back to school or, you know, just kind of getting back into your roles in your house and with your family or your friends, sometimes that's when people will notice, okay, hold on. You know, I'm not able to do things the way that I used to before. You know, I'm having trouble, you know, organizing my stuff at work or, managing all the stuff I have at home. Or, you know, like the way I communicate isn't quite the same and I'm getting some feedback about that from the people that care about me. And so sometimes it's not, people think, you know, I don't need speech anymore. I'm done with that when they leave the hospital. But then as they kind of get back into those everyday communications settings, that's when, you know, they start to realize and their families realize that maybe some speech therapy would be helpful. And our name is not that great because it really focuses on speech, where I think speech pathology really focuses on, you know, communication and thinking. And, you know, I think when people get back and start to recognize those things, as speech pathologists, we need to do a better job kind of we're the people you can call. We're the people you can see if you need some help, adapting or getting your memory strategies, in a way that's going to support the things I want to do. And so I think that's often the case, is what you notice is changing, and your brain is changing and continuing to get better, or maybe your life changes, you get a new job, and all of a sudden you need some help. And so I think this idea of an ongoing recovery and us being there to support what people notice and need and partner with them is a really probably a better idea of how speech pathologists can support people with TBI and their families.
Very. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's not only, of course, very beneficial, especially with the example you gave. Like when you can go down, let's say if you later down the road, you go through a different stage, like, oh, I don't think I need this. I've been doing it for X amount of years, months, off and on, right? Do activities, whatever the case may be. But there are going to be certain times where you might need to revamp that. It doesn't damage to continue to relearn or reboost, if you will. It's just going to be a better outcome for the individual and, of course, their community, so they don't feel like it is more of a burden to them to try to ask what certain words mean or not being able to answer a question properly, attention span, et cetera.
Yeah. And I think, if you can, I've been thinking a lot about, how, it really is building a partnership with somebody with TBI and their clinician and having the person with TBI feel comfortable to say, you know what, this is going well, but, I really could use some problem-solving help on how I can do this better or X better in my everyday life. And having a speech pathologist kind of partner with them to kind of brainstorm some ideas, develop a training plan, and then, hopefully, that works. And then you can go on. And then if something else comes up later, I think kind of coming back and saying, okay, let's problem solve about this as well.
Exactly. And speaking of problem solving, when I was doing some research, I saw that you're also working on a new research project that's supported by the National Institute of Health. Congratulations on that.
Oh.
For here in the U.S. I wanted to know, could you please tell me about that and how, as we were discussing this, TBI survivors and their family members or even friends will be able to learn more or even get involved with this guidance?
Yeah, sure. So we were really lucky to my lab and some people I work with to get a new award from the NIH, specifically the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders. And really this stems from my clinical work and experience. And so what we often find is that, we want to be able to work on really functional things that are going to matter to people in their everyday lives. And especially some of those conversation skills, whether, again, it's conversation specific to switching how you talk at home or with your buddies versus how you talk at work or at church or whatever you might be involved in. And those are so important to everyday life. But it's also pretty hard to measure in the clinic other than kind of an interview. And so we got this award and we're really kind of starting, really from the perspective of people who've had a TBI, their family members or their friends, and SLPs in the community, to kind of tell us what is the most important thing for your speech pathologist to know related to your communication and your conversations and your thinking. And so we are, I think we're just starting year two, and we're doing some interviews on Zoom, again, with anybody who's had a TBI, a family member, a friend. And we're going to take all that information and really look hard at it and analyze it and really try to come up with some new speech pathologist tools that we hope will kind of allow the speech pathologist to find out and ask the right questions so that people with TBI can work on the things that they want to related to communication, social interaction, but that we can also measure it, as is required in clinical settings. And so, we're interviewing people and really starting from their perspectives and kind of building up from there.
Wow, that's amazing, especially how there's different aspects of it that can really help both the survivor, their families, and or friends. Now, for individuals to get involved with that, do they need to be only located nearby or in the North Carolina area, or is that really suitable for anyone nationwide?
Yeah, I know you have listeners around the world. So right now we are limited to people in the U.S. But because, you know, we've all become accustomed to Zoom. And so with the changing technology, we do all of our interviews, not on Zoom, but a similar kind of video conferencing setting. And so people can be anywhere. We just set up an interview.
That's awesome, because I do know a lot of individuals. I understand that, first off, it only needs to be in the U.S., especially with this being, you know, supported by the National Institute of Health here in the U.S. But I do know a lot of survivors, caregivers, and their community, if you will, that could really be beneficial from this. So I definitely want to share them some information. That's why I wanted to make sure that if it was accessible, if they're out of the North Carolina state but still residents of the United States.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I just was talking to somebody today and was at a TBI support group last weekend.
Oh, wow.
I just think that there's so much wisdom that people gain as they go through the rehab process and, you know, through speech therapy. And so we're really trying to tap into that and use that wisdom to build our assessment tools.
Wow, that's amazing. And congratulations on your impact and the guidance that you do and being at that support group and sharing more information both personally and professionally.
Thank you. I really think it's important work, and I'm honored to do it.
Fantastic. So with this support new research project, how would individuals be able to learn more about it or connect with you to schedule an interview, as you discussed?
Well, I mean, I think the easiest way is via email. And so I don't know if it's easy to read that email over here or what's best, but my lab email is on our University of North Carolina website. And our lab email is cogcom@med.unc.edu. And I know that's long, but if you Google me, you can probably find my email address too.
Perfect. You know, and that's what we'll also do, Dr. Byam, is when individuals contact us, ask them, we'll send them your way. We know that contact information will make it easier on them, because I'm sure individuals, as we all know, trying to write stuff down, but that way at least they know that it is suitable and they can reach out and schedule an interview to see if it's something that they can be involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And thanks to everybody who might consider it.
Well, Dr. Byam, I really appreciate not only all your work, you sharing more of these helpful tools with speech language, also this new research project, but most importantly, you sharing your personal example of how you honestly understand about TBIs and how meaningful this is with you helping veterans, first responders, and others that have to go through the long road of recovery after sustaining a brain injury.
Of course, and I think that I learn something new every day in clinic, and I have to laugh because in clinic, you know, I'm trying to problem solve. I was working with a veteran, and he was trying to, you know, find a way to remember to use his GPS because he was in a new town. And, you know, I'm trying to think about all my complex therapy, you know, ideas, and all of a sudden he's like, you know, I probably will just use a sticky note. And it worked. And so I just feel like I'm learning so much every day from my clients. And it's nice in our clinic. I think there's some camaraderie and people can learn from each other. You know, this worked for me. You know, that didn't work. Maybe you could try this. And so I guess I would put in a plug for connecting with others beyond your clinicians, because I think people, like I said, have a lot of wisdom that they've gained.
Exactly. And it's amazing also with that perspective of learning something new every day. If everybody knew everything, life would have a completely different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know I've been asking you question after question, and it's amazing what you do, the opportunities that you're not only addressing right now, but also the continuing ripple effect you'll be able to help others with your passion behind the wheel. Do you have any questions for me before we wrap this up?
I will ask, and I hope this is okay. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. as somebody who teaches future rehab professionals, future speech language pathologists and audiologists, are there any words of wisdom you would share as people entering the field of rehab and how they can support people who've had a TBI or their family?
No, that's a really good question. There's really no right answer. They're all very powerful. But from my own personal perspective of being a survivor myself and being around other survivors in the rehabilitation stages of their recovery, I would think, you know, the famous quote, never judge a book by its cover. And no matter what the outcome is, and this goes to the survivors as well, that during these stages of recovery, both the speech pathologist and the survivors, give it your all. One day is just a day. Can't focus too far in the future because we're not there yet. The past has already happened, so we need to just focus on that one day to achieve it at its highest level of goal setting.
That's really powerful. For all of us, I think, like, take it a day at a time. You know, we have good days and we have bad days, but especially for clinicians just starting out in their careers. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem, Dr. Byam. Thank you for everything you do, the opportunity to connect, and most importantly, the opportunity to send others your way. It's going to be phenomenal to share your impact with others, and I look forward to doing some more work together and creating a long-term friendship.
Cool. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you.
You too, ma'am. Thank you once again.
Of course. Bye.
Bye. Wow, everyone. What a great wrap-up that was to our July series. As you heard, Dr. Byam is really giving a powerful message and opportunity for not only speech-language pathologists, but also survivors, whether it's first responders, military veterans, and the general public. If you would like to learn more or also schedule an interview to see if you can be a part of that new research project that is supported by the National Institute of Health for U.S. citizens, please contact us on social media or by visiting tbionelove.org. We appreciate all your teamwork and support with helping us paint the world green and helping end brain injury awareness. One love.